Good morning. All right, man, how awesome is it to have a team like that that gets to serve here every week, right? Let's just give them a big thank you. I love it. We've got some incredible team members that serve here. They serve at other, at least two of these guys. One guy's heading to his church right now so he can make it to both churches this morning. Another guy serves at another church. And just so cool to see them come together just to worship God like that. And I think that's awesome. Well, it is also good to be with you here as usual in the room and online. But I'll tell you, it's a little weird for me to not have a guitar or a keyboard in front of me. So I don't exactly know what to do with my hands. We'll see how that works out. I'll try not to be weird. But I am excited that I get to help kick off this new series we're doing called Worship Life. The series itself was kind of put together by a guy by the name of Dwayne Moore. He's a singer, songwriter, author, teacher, evangelist, et cetera, et cetera. He does like a lot of things. Like literally all over the world, a lot of his ministry is. He's also the founder of a ministry called Next Level Worship, which is something I've gotten connected to here over the last year or so, kind of volunteered and participated in some things they were doing, which led to a call from Dwayne a couple of months ago to say, hey, Mike, would you be interested? We've got some things switched up on our staff right now. Would you be interested in, you know, part-time for the next few months joining our staff? Which I prayed about and said, yeah, you know what? I think that's exactly what I need to do. And so excited about that. And because it's been really cool to see, to be a part of what God is doing through them, but then to get to see how God is working in my own life through Next Level Worship and Old Fort Church at the same time, and to get to see how that fits together in really this design that only God could have put together. And I feel like God put that in my life at a critical moment when I really needed, I needed that push to be reminded that I'm not done. There's a lot more to go. I've got a lot more for you to do. And so that was a really, really, really cool thing also. So with that, another exciting thing I get to share is that, so I get to kick off the series, which is not the exciting thing, but at the end of the series on Sunday, March 14, Dwayne is actually going to be here in person to give that final message on that day. And I am excited for you guys for that week. I really believe that his commitment, his heart, and his passion are going to leave an impact on you that day. So don't miss it. And if anything, make sure you invite more people to come out, to again be in the room or at least be online. You're not going to want to miss that message. He's going to have some great things to share. And he'll be in town that weekend because the day before, Saturday, March 13, we get to host a worship conference right here in this room, and which I'm also super excited about. We get to be here in person. It's the Renew Conference. There's some stuff floating around online, but you can find that at oldfortchurch.com/renew. If you've got any questions, go there or see me if you want to. Now, while it's primarily focused for worship leaders and teams and tech and things like that, I really believe that there's some things in there for all of us. So if anybody does have any interest at all, would love to see you there. Or if you know people around the area that maybe serve at other churches, it's definitely not just an Old Fort thing. This is a region-wide thing. I actually drove 2 hours to go to one of these one time, and it's great stuff. It's a great day of growing and learning. So anyway, moving forward, one thing I've been passionate about for years and years and years is worship. But what I've learned is that all of our definitions of worship aren't necessarily the same thing. Even my definition of worship has changed and isn't what it used to be. But I am so thankful that God continues to reveal himself and continues to expand our knowledge of who he is and what he wants to teach us. And so before we go any farther, let's just take a moment to pray and ask God to do that this morning, to continue to reveal himself and teach us. So God, thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here. Man, for what a great time of worship we've already had, to get to just spend time in your presence. I am so thankful to get to be a part of this church and this body and what you're doing here. And so, Lord, this morning, we just ask that you teach us. Lord, help us to open up our hearts and our minds and our soul and to hear what you have to say this morning. Lord, let it not be anything that I've got to say, but let it be everything that you have to say. So, God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you this morning. We ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, worship. What is it? We've talked about worship in the past, and actually to the point where, I mean, we really want worship to be a part of who we are as a church. We've kind of worked that into our, we've got this five core values you've heard thrown around maybe before called truth. Let's say these together. They are transforming, reaching, unrestrained, together, and helping. So those are kind of the five core values, and I think we typically put the worship in the unrestrained section, which I think is probably where you'd find it most. But I suspect that as we go through these next few weeks, you're going to find that worship really does fit in most, if not all of those, to some degree. So let's just stop and let's stop and kind of break it down a little bit and figure out what it is. And to understand that, I think I want to make a distinction. We're talking about biblical worship versus a generic worldly worship. Those are definitely two different things. Everyone worships. We're created for that. We all worship something. Because in a generic sense, worship is simply just giving focus and attention to what you value most. So whatever you value most, that's what you give your attention to. That's kind of what you worship in a sense. And without a biblical perspective on worship, we find ourselves worshiping things like job and family and relationships, politics, social media, our personal agendas, things like that. And I'll confess, I know I have been, and I continue at times to be guilty of this. And I think especially this last year, with all of the politics and the crazy just like things going on, I think a lot of us have fallen prey to letting some of this stuff completely consume us. And while they can be important things in our lives at times, they should never become more important than God. We cannot let these things take priority of our thoughts and actions. We must put God first. We're going to build a lot of this off of Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. And they are talking to Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourselves. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, I've actually heard a lot of great messages based on this set of scriptures. But one interesting thing I found is that frequently they'll read this passage, they'll kind of skim by the first commandment real fast, and then they'll spend the rest of the time on the second commandment. And that's great to some extent. There's a reason why that second commandment is important. We'll kind of touch on that later. Especially in our world right now, I think we do need a whole lot more loving our neighbor as ourselves. But that still takes a back seat to commandment number one. Listen, if we don't get commandment number one right and begin to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll never get any of the rest of it right. Loving God is the most important thing in life that we're called to do. And when we're loving God, we're worshiping, right? That's kind of the key takeaway this morning. That's the simple definition of worship. It's simply loving God. So even if you check out on me from here on out, make sure to underline, circle, highlight, whatever. But in your notes, make sure you've got this, that worship equals loving God. That's your key takeaway this morning. That's the simple version of it. So, but we could go home there, but I got more to say. So I'm going to keep going, if that's all right. So we're going to spend a few minutes now looking a little more at some things that worship is, but also kind of looking at, to help us figure that out, looking at some things that worship is not. And so number one, worship does not equal music. Now that might throw you for a second. I think this is likely one of the biggest misconceptions we have about worship right now. So we're just going to knock that one down right away. While music and worship can often be beautifully linked, and I love it when it is, they are two separate things. You can easily have music without worship, and you definitely can have worship without music. Listen, you don't just show your love to your spouse or your kids or your parents or your friends by doing one thing, right? It would be, what if I told you that the only way I could show love to my wife, the only way to do that is just to say I love you. That's it. That's the only way. That's the proper way. That's the only way. That's just, you know, loving her equals just saying I love you. Well, that would be silly, right? that would be ridiculous. Now, while I should say I love you, that's part of it. That is part of it. You also show them in multiple ways. You can say a kind word. You can give them a gift. You can help them with a project at home. You can lend a sympathetic ear. An unexpected gift or a card. Scraping the ice off the windows before you leave for work or anything. There's limitless ways you can show love to somebody that you care about. And just like the love we show for others, our love for God can and should be shown in a whole lot more ways than just music. Which leads us to point number two. Worship does not equal a certain style of music. Now, I won't linger on this one very long, and I almost skipped it because I thought, we don't really need to go there. but after I thought about it, I thought, you know, there's a very important point here that I kind of want to reiterate. And so to do that, I'm going to share just a quick story. I've worked at Old Fort Church for several years, I guess. it's been a while. I've seen a lot of stages. Some of us have been through a lot of things together. I remember back years ago when we were having more of what they call the worship wars. This still happens in a lot of churches. We don't see that so much here now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The worship wars happened whenever a church wanted to, you know, change music or literally anything they do or have done for the last 100 years. There's a worship war. And so during some of this time, I walked into my office on a Monday morning, or what was considered my office at the time. It was kind of a shared space. And on the table, there was a book laying there that was, I don't know, accidentally or strategically placed where I would see it when I came in Monday morning. And the book was called Why I Left the Contemporary Christian Movement. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I was mildly irritated at the passive aggressiveness, maybe slightly impressed. But I thought, you know what? I was at a moment in my life where I said, man, what the heck? I'm going to read that book. I'm going to read it anyway. And so, for a guy that doesn't read a whole lot of books, my wife will tell you, that was a push for me. To sit down and stop and actually read something was a push. But anyway, I'm absolutely sure that the point of that book laying there in that moment was to convince me that, oh, everything we were doing was bad and it was terrible and we should just go back to the way it was. But after reading it, I actually kind of came to the opposite conclusion. It was a very timely reminder for me. It was again, I think God had his hand in it regardless. God was reminding me at that time that I need to be very aware of what we're doing, but not to stop it. And he spoke to me in that moment and told me that yes, there are dangers and there are pitfalls to what this contemporary Christian movement is bringing, but there's some of the same dangers in staying right where you are. And so obviously I won't break down all the bullet points of that book for you this morning, but the big thing that I got out of that was that God told me, listen, style is completely irrelevant, one way or the other. What God is concerned about far more than style is our heart. I consider myself extra blessed on a Sunday morning because I get to show up and worship God at two different times on Sunday. I get to show up at 8:30 and worship in that context, and I get to show up at 10 and worship in this context. And it's the same God. It's the same heart. It's just different music in a different way we kind of put things together. And so I consider myself like extra blessed because I get to experience both of them in the same day. And I know some of you pop back and forth and I'll see you in maybe both of them, but I told them at 8:30 too, for those that maybe 8:30 that don't typically go to 10, or if you're at 10 here and don't typically go to 8:30, try it out. Just show up and see how God moves in that moment and see how God maybe might reveal something new to you and work on you in a new and different way. So, all right, so I said I wouldn't linger on that very long. Moving on, we'll hit these next three pretty quick. Number three, worship does not equal having a warm, fuzzy feeling. Now, once again, these two can obviously happen at the same time, but just because you feel all warm and fuzzy and have goosebumps running up and down your arm and, you know, all warm and tingly, that doesn't mean you've achieved worship. Again, it goes back to heart. Music is powerful. I've seen that in many, many instances. Being a musician, I've seen a lot of cases where music really cuts through and is emotional and really like touches people in a way that a lot of things won't. But music can stir emotion, but only God can stir the heart. I'm going to say that again. Music can stir emotion, but it's only God that stirs your heart. Now, you can experience a world of different emotions through music and prayer and communion and time by yourself or time here at church together, but until you move past the emotion and truly connect your heart to his heart, it's all just for show. So, number four, worship does not equal just time by yourself with God. Again, worship can and should happen when you're by yourself with God, but it's not limited to that. And likewise, number five, worship does not equal just time in church with God. Now, it can and should happen in church, but it's also not limited to that. I think this is another big one we get tripped up on. We've kind of got God in this little box, and we pull him out on Sunday. We have our moment on Sunday, and we put him right back in that box and put him back on the shelf until next week because we really don't know what to do with him during the week, right? We don't really know what to do with him between Sundays. But he's so much more than that. And he wants to be in your life, involved in your life, so much more if you'd let him. So, hopefully by now you're starting to see that worship is, on one hand, so much simpler, but at the same time, so much bigger than we tend to make it. It's simple because at its core, it's just loving God. But it's bigger because there are so many ways we can show and do that. So we're going to finish this morning with three things that our love for God must be. These are in your notes too. Number one, our love for God must be strong. We'll start in Deuteronomy 6:5. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now we've kind of touched on the heart and the soul a little bit already today, but we're also to love God with all our strength. That's every fiber of our being. How many like 4-H'ers do we have? How many of you have or currently or have been in 4-H? Yes, I know we got, especially a community like this, we got 4-H'ers. Well, it's not exactly the same, but it's kind of like the head, heart, hands, health thing, that pledge. You know, the 4-H'ers know what I'm talking about. There's this pledge where you pledge your head to, I can't remember it. I always messed it up even when I was in 4-H. But anyway, but the idea is that it encompasses everything that we are. It's an all-in commitment. See, letting worship drive part of our life is good, but to truly experience it, we need to let it drive our entire life, our whole life. And when we do this, when we turn our attention and our gaze towards God, we'll be convicted, changed, and renewed. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, secondly, our love for God must be sacrificial. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. That's pretty cut and dry. That seems pretty simple, right? Well, for to truly love God, it will take commitment and sacrifice. I mean, listen, knowing that God gave his all for us, why should we not give our all to him? We love to hear messages about how much God loves us, right? That makes us happy. He sent his son to literally give his life for each and every one of us. There is no more sacrificial love than that. But yet, we still frequently hold back on our love and our worship back to him. If any of your other relationships are that one-sided, I'm going to guess they're not really going so well, are they? The more you love someone, the more you're willing to sacrifice for them. Your level of sacrifice is usually a pretty good indicator of how much you love them, your level of love for that person. Again, Jesus was willing to sacrifice everything for you. How much are you willing to sacrifice for him? I think Romans 12:1 sums this up very well. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, there was nothing mentioned there about music or singing, but offering our bodies, our whole being, as a living sacrifice. That's true and proper worship of God. So, our love for God must be strong, it must be sacrificial, and third, our love for God must be shared. Our love for God is a very important part of our personal relationship with him. However, it was never meant to be just between you and him. He expects us to share that with others. There's two key ways we do this, through our witness and through our worship, or worship and our witness and our worship, either way. As we worship God, we share with him that we love him. This is where we open ourselves up, whether it's privately or publicly, and we let him know how we truly feel about him in our heart. Then, okay, now we're going to go back to that greatest commandment we talked about earlier. We get to the second one, and we begin to show love to those around us. After we figure out how we can love God by worshiping him, loving him, putting him first, then we begin to worship God by loving and serving others. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And to take it one step further, this then leads us directly to being able to witness to those around us. This is called the Great Commission. When Jesus left this earth, this is what he left with us, and that's in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Listen, when we witness to someone and share with him or her how much God loves them, God is worshiped. Again, it's nothing to do with music or things like that. It's loving God, and sharing that with others. So, as we kind of start to wrap up or get towards the end here, got a couple more things we want to do, but I want to wrap up this part with this story I want to share. It's a really cool Old Testament story that I've kind of been digging into. You guys that have been doing this worship study with us, you'll recognize some of this. But it's found in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's like 30 verses. We don't need to do that. But I encourage you, I put it on your notes there because I want you to read that at home when you get a chance. And then maybe reread it, and then maybe reread it, and reread it. Because every time you read it, there's another little nugget or another little thing you find in there. But anyway, there's a lot of great things going on there. I'll give you the Cliff Note version. Here's the Cliff Note version of this story. Okay, so here's King Jehoshaphat. He's got his army. They're all gathered out wherever they are in their tents or whatever they're doing. And they get word that not one, but two armies decided they want to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So he gets this word. He's obviously alarmed. This is not news that he wanted to hear. But what he does is he immediately goes to prayer. And he told all of his people around him, listen, I want you to pray and I want you to fast. Immediately, that was step number one for him. No question, that's what he went to. So then we fast forward a little bit. After lots of prayer and fasting, and in that time, one of King Jehoshaphat's dudes steps up, this Jahaziel, and he says, hey, so I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I think we've got an answer to our problem. Okay. And so he says, well, God told me that, listen, we're going to go ahead and march into battle. We're going to be fine. We're actually going to be victorious. And we're going to be okay on this. We won't even have to fight. Like, all right. Now, I myself, I would have had some questions here. I would have been like, oh, wait a minute, how's this gonna, nope. They didn't question. Instead, what'd they do? They immediately bowed down and worshiped God on the spot. That was their response. Again, no questions. They just worshiped God. They hadn't even gone to battle yet, but they're already thanking him for this victory. So the next morning, they got up, they marched right into battle, on in, and with all the confidence in the world. I mean, this is, I want you to picture this. So they're marching into battle, two armies that are after them. They're marching in. They're so confident that they didn't put the front line, they didn't put their like lead warriors and their best, you know, their best fighters. They didn't have the Avengers on the front line heading into this battle, or Chuck Norris or whoever, you know, whatever. They didn't, who'd they put on the front line? They put singers. They put worshipers. Like the entire King Jehoshaphat's entire army was led by a whole front line of guys charging into battle singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Would you say that with me? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. One more time. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And this is how they marched into battle. This was their battle plan. Again, I'd have been like, I got some questions. Like, I don't know about this. I'm not sure this is what we want to do. But they did. They marched on in. And here's what they found. They marched in, they looked down in the valley, both of these armies had turned on one another, and they took each other out before Jehoshaphat even got there. So just like God said, hey, you're going to march into battle, you're going to be fine, you're going to win, you're not even going to have to fight. And he delivered. How amazing is that? Like, that's unreal to me. They didn't even have to fight at all. Worship was their weapon. So again, moving on. So not surprisingly, this put all the other armies on notice for a while. And so Jehoshaphat and his people, they lived in peace. They went back. They continued to worship God. They continued to celebrate, for obvious reasons. You know, now it's easy to see that. But anyway, I would venture to say, myself included, that probably not any of us would have reacted or led the same way in that situation. But man, what an example. What an example. And again, this is why I want you to encourage you to read this, because all through this passage, we find God being worshiped in so many different ways. I mean, they loved him, they trusted him, they sought his guidance, they sang his praises, and look how God delivered. I'm telling you, listen, God is a whole lot less concerned with exactly how you worship, and a whole lot more interested in the fact that you do worship. We'll say that one more time too, before the band start to come up here. But God is a whole lot less concerned with exactly how you worship, and a whole lot more interested in the fact that you do worship. And that is how we show that we love him. So before we move on, let's go to God in prayer. God, we love you this morning. God, you are so good. You have given so much. And you continue to give so much. And God, I pray that we come to a place, hopefully right now, but maybe it's going to take a couple more weeks or three or five or whatever during this series. But God, that you begin to open us up to help us hear your voice, and to help us realize the depth and the enormity of who you are. And the fact that you are worthy of worship. God, help us to love you. Yes, God, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. As we continue this morning, the way we're gonna wrap up this morning is I thought we just create an opportunity to worship. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of leave this open to, I want you to feel free just to, again, like I said, worship is just loving God. And that may look entirely different for each and every single person in this room. How you show love to God may be totally different than the person standing next to you is going to show love to God. But I just want to give you some options. We're going to close with a song. Go ahead and play. We're going to close with a song. You're welcome to sing. That's one way you can show your love for God. You're welcome to just kind of listen and soak on those words. That's a way you can show love to God. Another way, hopefully you picked up a communion thing on the way in. If you didn't, just whenever you get a chance, if you want one, slip out and grab one. Just a quick tutorial on that. Just remember, there's two little flaps on here. The little clear one is going to let you get that wafer out. You want to do that first, and then the big one will get the juice open so you don't make a mess. But what this is a representation of God's love to us. See, before Christ died, he gathered in this room with some of the people he loved the most on this earth, Jesus, with his 12 disciples, those that were closest to him. And they had this meal, and they got to, you know, they got into the meal, and then he took this bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body." Jesus knew exactly what was going on. I doubt any of them really had any idea what was to come, but God did. And then he took the cup and he said, This is my blood." And so they passed it around and drank it. Again, I don't suspect that they really had any idea what was coming. But in that moment, Jesus knew exactly the love he was showing and knew what was coming. His love for them and his love for each and every single one of you took him all the way to the cross. He literally gave everything for you. Literally gave his life for you. Now praise God, he rose, he's alive today. We can celebrate that. That doesn't change the power in what he did for us. And so one way that we can worship him this morning is, if and when you're ready, take this. Remember that his body that was broken for you. Remember the blood that was shed for you. Beyond that, you know, do what's right. If what feels right this morning, if you feel like you want to show love to God by maybe kneeling down on the floor, do that. If you want to just sit in your chair and maybe pray, do that. If you want to lift your hands and surrender, you can stand, you can sit, whatever, do that. You can do that there, you can do it up front, you can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, whatever, you can wander around the room. The goal in this moment is, let's just show God we love him somehow, some way. And maybe push yourself to do something you've never done before even. It doesn't have to be huge. Maybe if you're used to raising your hands here, raise them here. You know? But just something that says, "God, you know what, I may or may not be there in this moment, but I want to be. God, I want to love you. I want to give my life to you. I want to let go." So I'm just going to step out of the way for a moment here. The band's going to lead this music, and just worship God as you feel. Just love him. God's presence. Tell him you love him. Yes, praise you, God. Thank you. It is so much more than a song. It was never meant to be just a song. So much bigger than that. So much deeper than that. He should be worshiped at all times because he's worth it. Yes, God, we love you. We praise you this morning. Yeah. Yes. And it really doesn't matter It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the place or the time or anything else going on, really. We're just called to worship him. We're called to love him. I've had the privilege of getting to worship in stadiums full of people. Stadiums full of people that are all shouting and praising and dancing and just joyful. And man, there were those goosebumps and those warm, fuzzy feelings, and it just felt like all was right with the world. It felt like there was this little glimpse of what is to come in heaven. It just was that kind of worship, that kind of feeling, and it was amazing. But But I've also worshiped God on the complete other side of that. It was 8 years ago yesterday that my dad died from cancer. But I can still remember, even in that moment, I worshiped God because I knew he loved us. I knew he still had his loving arms wrapped around me. And I knew at that moment, he had welcomed my dad into his arms in heaven. That was an amazing thought. But yet, you know, we had no goosebumps. We had no dancing and cheerful joy. And we didn't have that kind of moment, but it didn't change the worship. The same God that I worshiped over here in this stadium full of people was the same God that I worshiped over here when life just seemed like it was crashing, falling apart. It didn't change a thing. Our God is still worthy. Listen, I don't always get it right like that. In those tough moments, I don't always do the right thing. I'm not always that strong. Listen, my job is to lead worship. My job is to hopefully help teach us what that means, but I frequently miss it myself. It happens. But the thing is, I have experienced worship, and I know a lot of you have too. And if you have, I pray that you'll experience that again soon. Maybe you just did. Maybe you are right now. But if you haven't, man, I pray that for your life too. I want that for all of you. I want you to be able to experience what that means to have this true, unrestrained worship of God, to be able to let go and just really feel that connection of his love flowing back to you and you pouring out your love back to him. I mean, if the God of the universe loves us this much, even though we don't deserve it, why on earth would we not worship him when he does deserve it? So here's your challenge this week. Do this preferably soon before it's out of your mind. But take some time this week to just quiet yourself. Try to, as best you can, try to block out anything else that's going on in your world. At home, work, whatever, block it out. In this moment, it doesn't matter. What matters in this moment is you and God. I want you to take a moment just to quiet yourself and pray to God. And there's no magic formula to that either. Praying to God is just talk to him. He's listening. All the time he's listening. We just have to open ourselves up to do it, to talk to him. But I want you to talk to him and ask him to reveal himself. Maybe he's starting to do that now, but over this next few weeks, ask him to continue to reveal himself. What does it mean to have a life of worship? What does it mean to have a worship life? Because, man, I want that for all of you. I want that more for myself. We all need that. So ask him to help draw us closer and figure out how we can love him. So as we send you out today, we've got another thing for you. Right now we've got one of these per family. If we end up with more, we'll be able to spread those around farther. But there's a personal journal that goes along with this study, this worship life. So I encourage you to pick those up. They're on the rack, the cart thing out there on your way out. Grab one of those. What this is basically, so you've heard message one today. So then pick this up and you follow with week one of these devotions. Next week you'll hear message two. And you'll do week two of devotions. See how that works? Then message three. So on, right? Just for a few weeks. I think it's maybe even on day one of, or you can do this however you want it, but there's an option to do even a family devotion, which is probably a good thing. I think a lot of times those are easy to not do. But then there's a lot of just personal stuff in here that I believe, I'm gonna go out on a limb and I say, I believe if you commit to this and do to this, you will see fruit out of that within these 5 weeks. In some way, somehow, I truly believe that God will speak to you some way if you commit yourself to it. So pick one of these up on the way out and spend some time with him. If we love him, we're going to spend time with him, right? So anyway, I'll quit talking. I could talk all day. But I should have put my notes, stop, quit talking. Right, that should have been right there. But anyway, but I love you guys too. I love you so much, and thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being online. If we don't see you before, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.